Well, good morning, everybody. Again, lovely to see and to welcome you this morning. To any who are visiting with us, again, a very special welcome to you today. This afternoon, then, the prayer meeting for the 2020 vision for the mission in 2020 is at 3 p.m. in Brookside. We encourage everybody, or as many as possible, to come as we prepare for this time of mission in May next year. Then United Evening Service is tonight, is in First O'Hochel at the usual time of 6:15. Also, Margaret was asked if anybody is going to the Getty Sing Belfast event on the 15th of June, if they would please wait after this present service. Friday night, there's a Friends of Vespa concert in Brookside, just to highlight this for you. Also on Friday night, there's a barbecue on the Lone Mission Hall. Also on Friday night, again in our own place here, there's a revival time of prayer meeting at 8 o'clock. Again, we would encourage people to come to this. It's a really precious time. And do remember the other times of prayer, Saturday at 7 and Sunday at 11 a.m. Then, God willing, next Sunday we're Belfast City Mission Day, when Mr. Alan Martin will be speaking in the morning and our own Paul McCall in the evening service. Then the vestibules this morning, this book is available, it's free of charge, the book Pastors Wishes You Would Read, but isn't too embarrassed to ask. Again, those books are available in each of the vestibules. And also we had a great night on Thursday night when Adrian Adger launched his book here. If anybody still hasn't got a copy of that or would like a copy of that, there are some copies available. If you speak to Brian or myself, we could arrange that with you. Then lastly, I want to give a quick word of thanks to all the ladies. It's been a really busy 2 weeks for all the catering arrangements that have been made. And ladies, you did us proud. So thanks very much for all your work in that. Thank you.
Well, good morning, everyone. George, thanks for bringing the announcements. Could I just add, if you're hoping to support the work of the City Mission financially, if you just put your offering in an envelope and put it on the plate at any time, then that'll be passed on to the City Mission Day, God willing, next Sunday. We're here to worship God. I want to begin with Psalm 150 as we read those words. It's a great psalm of praise. And this morning I'm beginning a little series again, Psalms in the Summer. We're picking off where we left off last year on Psalm 9, which is a psalm of praise and prayer. But listen again to Psalm 150. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his acts of power. Praise him for his surpassing greatness. Praise him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise him with the harp and the lyre. Praise him with tambourine and dancing. Praise him with the strings and flute. Praise him with the clash of cymbals. Praise him with the resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And we're here to praise our great and glorious God today. And we're going to do that as we bring him our worship and our opening praise. Magnificent, marvelous, matchless love. Let's stand together as we praise God.
Thank you.
Well, let's come before God in prayer, and let us all pray. Our gracious God and loving Father, we thank you that we can still ourselves in your presence. And we thank you that it's possible for us to come before a thrice holy God this morning. Not because of any good thing about ourselves, but all because of the Lord Jesus. We've been reminding us in those words of the cross, reminding us how the cross opened the door for us and brought about redemption. And we thank you this morning for many in this gathering who have been redeemed by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so here in the Lord's Day, we thank you that we're here to worship you. We're here to lift your name high. We're here to say how great, how magnificent of a God that you are. And we do thank you that we're found in your presence. We thank you and praise you for all that you mean to us. We thank you and praise you for your great plan of redemption and for how you have kept us safe in the hollow of your hand. And for all of those things, Lord, we're eternally grateful. And our prayer would be that those who know and love you, that as we seek to live out our lives for you, that, Lord, our lives will speak of you in these days. And that our lives will have an impact on others. Lord, you remind us that we are to be salt and light. And we pray that as we seek to do that, even in the community that you've placed us, Lord, we pray that we would speak loud and clear for our Master. We thank you as we've been singing about this magnificent, marvelous, matchless love. We thank you for the love that the Father had to send the Son. We thank you that the love that Jesus had to go to the cross. We thank you that greater love is no man than this, that a man laid down his life for his friends. So, Father, help us to bask in that this morning. Help us to rejoice in that this morning. Help us to be thrilled in all that you mean to us and all that you have done for us. I know our prayer would be for any who are still strangers to that love and strangers to your saving grace, that even this day, even now, that your Spirit would be moving in their hearts and lives, that they would hear that call from God and come and repent of their sin and know the joy of living for Jesus. So, Father, with that sense of expectation, we wait upon you today and we look to you as ever to come and indeed to bless all that's said and done in this house. Praying it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you have your Bible, could you turn, please, to Psalm number 9? And over the next few weeks, the elders-elect are going to be reading the scriptures for us. So I'm delighted Hubert's going to read Psalm number 9 for us today. And again, a reminder for you, even as you see the men over the next few weeks, to be praying for them as they continue with their training and then come to their ordination in September. So Psalm number 9, and thank you, Hubert, for coming and reading the scriptures.
Psalm number 9. I will praise you, O Lord, with all my heart. I will tell you of all your wonders. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. My enemies turn back, they stumble and perish before you. For you have upheld my right and my cause. You have sat on your throne judging righteously. You have rebuked the nations and destroyed the wicked. You have blotted out their name forever and ever. Endless ruin has overtaken the enemy. You have uprooted their cities, even the memory of them has perished. The Lord reigns forever. He has established his throne for judgment. He will judge the world in righteousness. He will govern the peoples with justice. The Lord is a refuge for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. Those who know your name will trust in you, for you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. Sing praises to the Lord enthroned in Zion.
proclaimed among the nations what he has done. For he who avenges blood remembers, he does not ignore the cry of the afflicted. O Lord, see how my enemies persecute me. Have mercy and lift me up from the gates of death, that I may declare your praises in the gate of the daughter of Zion, and there rejoice in your salvation. The nations have fallen into the pit they have dug. Their feet are caught in the net they have hidden. The Lord is known by his justice, and wicked are ensnared by the work of their hands. The wicked return to the grave of all nations that forgot God, but the needy will not always be forgotten, nor the hope of the afflicted ever perish. Arise, O Lord, let not man triumph. Let the nations be judged in your presence. Strike them with terror, O Lord. Let the nations know they are but men. Amen.
Amen. And we do know that God will bless the public reading of his word. Thank you, Hubert, for reading the scriptures for us today. Boys and girls, if you'd like to come up to the front for a few minutes, I'll come down to see you just now. Lovely to see you this morning, and thank you for coming up to the front. And I have up on the screen somewhere in the Psalms, and Psalm 9, praise and prayer. And that's what we're going to be thinking about later on in the service with the bigger people. But I want to think with you just a little moment or two about this idea of praise and prayer. And I was thinking about how when our boys were small, when they were young children, firstly when they were born, we would have prayed with them and for them. Maybe this has been true of you. And then as they got a little bit older and as they listened to us praying, then they were be able to pray their little prayer. It wasn't going to be as big and long as the prayer we had prayed, but they began to say a little prayer. And then as they got a little bit older again, then it came the place where they were able to make their prayers stronger than even how we had been needing them. Praise and prayer. And I'm sure that's been true for many of you, and again, if you're a parent, but trust you'll continue to put those good and godly things into the lives of your children, that you'll pray with them, pray for them, that they may develop that. But I wanted to think, first of all, here on the screen, here's another word. What is this word here? What's the word on the screen? Prayer. So what is prayer? Somebody tell me what prayer is. Can somebody sum it up? What is prayer? Good answer, Sonny. When you're speaking to God. So it's different when I'm speaking to you, because it's not a prayer, it's just a conversation. But when we're talking to God, we're speaking to God. And in many ways, it's a conversation that we're having with God. And when we're praying, what sort of things could we pray for? Pray for our families, yes. You think you know something? Okay. Anything else we could pray for? Just your family. Is there anything? Anything else? Our friends. There's so many things we can pray for. We could have a huge, big list of things to pray for. But do we only pray for things? That's really what I want us to think about, because there's another important word coming up on the screen. Praise. You see, sometimes I think when we come to prayer, sometimes we can get it all wrong. And sometimes when we come to prayer, we can think, well, I need to ask God for this and 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 this. And it's almost like our shopping list that we bring to God, we pray to God, we bring that to God maybe nearly every day. We say amen, and you think, well, I have prayed now. And yet sometimes, maybe even for bigger people, sometimes we maybe forget, well, we ought to be spending time praising God. We ought to be, even before we ask for anything, reflecting on how great and how wonderful our God is. And later on, as we come to that Psalm 9, we really be digging deeper into that. And so this week, as you live out this week, as you maybe pray with mum or dad, or even pray on your own, I want to encourage you to praise God. Not just to bring your shopping list. Not just to say, well, all these things that we pray for all the time. But to really praise God for how great he is. There's an old hymn that you'll not know, but some of the older folk will know. It says, count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. And when we do that, when we think back, maybe even a week that's gone past or 2 weeks of the past month, there are so many things we can look back on and say, thank you, God. Thank you for helping me with that. Thank you for being with me as I went to that particular place. And thank you for all the good health that I have. Thank you for all the good things that I enjoy. So let's not just always come to God with a shopping list, but let's learn to praise him for the great and wonderful God that he is, and then ask him for our requests. So even this week, I trust you'll learn to praise God more and to thank him for all of his blessings. Well, let's praise God now, and let's pray and ask him for his goodness. Father, we praise you for these boys and girls at the front of our church today. We thank you for their young lives, and we thank you for the potential within their young lives. And we pray, Lord, for children in primary 7 who received news yesterday about which school they'll be moving on to. We pray that you'll be with each of those boys and girls and help them even in that transition time of moving on to big school. May they know your goodness and your blessing upon their lives. We praise you, Lord, for our education system. We praise you that boys and girls can go to school without having the need to come up with school fees and all of that goes on in other parts of the world. We thank you and we pray that as our boys and girls receive education, that they will make the most of that and that they will grow in all developments. We pray that you'll bless these dear children. We pray that in life that they would really learn to praise the great God that we have. That early in life that they would learn to put their trust in the living God. And indeed that their lives would be marked out by you and for you. So Lord, bless them today. Bless their families. And for all of us today, may that note of praise be upon our hearts and lives. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We are going to praise God with the children's hymn. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for loving me. Thank you for coming up to the front. And you can head back just now and sing really well. Thank you. Let's stand together as we praise God. Thank you. Well, as we come to our prayers of intercession this morning, we want to think of the General Assembly. Many of you know that that is this incoming week. It's always a busy week. And our Rep Elder John Wright and myself will be going up to Belfast probably a couple of days at least. And we want to pray for the work of the General Assembly. There are always big decisions that are made. We want to pray for our new moderator. If you have the Herald there, you'll see a picture of him and his wife and family on the front of the Herald. We want to pray for William Henry as he would step into that particular role. And it's also a reminder that we're part of something much larger. And today I want to also draw to your attention and bring to prayer a young fella. His dad's the minister in Ballykeel Presbyterian Church, Marty Manili. And I want to think today of Joshua Manili. And Joshua is 15, and Joshua will be having open heart surgery this coming Wednesday. They'll be traveling over to Birmingham. And so you could imagine just, in some ways, the anxiety with regards to all of that. And we want to pray for them as a family, that they would know God's help in this incoming week. So we'll remember Marty, his wife, Julie, Joshua, and their little daughter, Martha, in our prayers today. So let's come before God, and let us indeed seek our great God in prayer. Loving Father, we do thank you today. We can bow before you. We thank you that you are a wonderful God. And we thank you for all your blessings that you've been bestowing upon us as a congregation in recent times. We thank you these past few weeks. They have been busy. There have been many demands on many individuals. And we just thank you, Lord, for all the help that you've been to so many. And this morning we would pause and say, to God be the glory. Great things you have done. And we pray that we will continue to know you working in and through our congregation in these days. We do remember those who have been recently in hospital. We pray that you would be with them. We pray that you would be near to them. We pray, Lord, for those who need that touch from you, that you'll come again and be unto them all that they would need. And for those bowed before you this morning who have worries and concerns, perhaps about their own health, perhaps about the health of a loved one, we pray, Lord, that you might step into those situations and be unto them all that they need for today and in the days ahead. But we thank you, Father, that we are reminded that not only should we be concerned about ourselves, but we should be thinking about others. And so we do pray for the minister in Ballykeel today. We do pray for him and his wife, Julie, and their children, and particularly for their son, Joshua. We pray for this young man as he would go for open heart surgery on Wednesday. We pray, Father, that as he would seek to have that valve replaced in his heart, that all would go well with regards to that. Be with them as they travel across to Birmingham. Be with the surgeons. Be with all of the aftercare. And we pray that this young fellow would make a full and hearty recovery. We pray for Marty with all of his ongoing ministry there in Ballykeel. And ask, O Lord, that you would be with him. And we pray that the congregation there would be of all the help and all the support to him and his wife that they would need at this time. And we ask, Lord, that likewise, that even here the folk in Trinity would remember this family in prayer in the days ahead. We do also continue to remember Adrian. We thank you for the great evening we had with him on Thursday night. We pray for Adrian and Karen, and ask that you'll continue to be with Adrian in his ongoing ministry in Clock and Seaford. And may he too continue to know the touch of God upon his life. Father, as we think of the week ahead, we do think of the work of the General Assembly. And our minds turn back to this time last year where there were many debates and much division. And Lord, we would pray for indeed your grace and enabling throughout the week ahead. We thank you for a new moderator. We pray for Dr. William Henry as he would take that position on Monday evening. We pray that he would know the blessing of God upon his life. That, Lord, that you would help him to be that wise moderator over the week ahead, as many things will, I'm sure, come to the fore. And we ask, Lord, that through all that would be said and done throughout the assembly this week, may it be said in a gracious way, and may your will indeed be done for days ahead without our denomination. So, Lord, we do commend all of that to you. Do pray for everyone who would be traveling the roads back and forth to General Assembly. You'd keep them safe. And may we know again the blessing of God and all that is done there. So, Lord, continue to be with us. Continue to meet with us here in Trinity today. And may you continue to be glorified. We ask all of these things in our Savior's name. Amen. We continue to worship God as we present to him our tithe and offering. And as we do that, the choir are going to lead us in praise. Our God is great. Your offering for God's work will now be received. Well, thanks as always to the choir for their ministry today. Let's continue to thank God for his greatness. Let's pray. Father, thank you for those lovely words. Again, a wonderful reminder of the great God that you are. Great reminder that all that we have ever comes from your gracious hand. And so we thank you today that we can return to you our token. And we pray that as we present that to you, that you'll take that, you'll bless it, you'll use it for the extending of your kingdom. Forgive us, Lord, when we hold back from that. Forgive us when we do not tithe what rightly belongs to you. And we pray that, Lord, gladly, as the people of God, as we think of all the blessings that you have bestowed upon us, that gladly we will give to you what rightly belongs to you. So hear our prayers, Lord. Again, we offer them in Jesus' name. Amen. We began today by singing a more modern piece, Magnificent, Marvelous, Matchless Love. That thread continues in our next praise. It's an older piece, Love Divine, All Loves Excelling. Let's stand together as we worship God.
Oh.
great singing this morning. Let's turn to God's word, please, to Psalm number 9. And as we're turning that up, can I just say to any young people, maybe you forgot to give me an EM form this morning. If you have that with you, if you have it completed, then could you give that to me at the close of the service as we continue to get things organized for EM. So Psalm number 9, and with God's word before us, let us pray. Father, thank you for the worship that we've been bringing to you today. Thank you again for the reminder of your great love. And we would ask as we would come now to the word of God, the Lord, that you would quieten our minds, the Lord, that you would open our hearts, that you would enable us, Lord, to grasp the wonderful truths from this great psalm. Lord, would you help me as I bring that word today? May you bring power to that word. And as always, we look to you and all of these things, praying it in Jesus' name. Amen. Most people long for justice. There hardly seems to be a week that doesn't go by then we read of reports from the courts, and there are occasions when I've listened to some of those reports. We read of, or hear of, someone who's violently assaulted another person, and it appears that the judge hands down a lenient sentence. Somebody does something awful, and the perpetrator gets like something like 40 hours community service. And as I'm listening to that, maybe on the radio or the TV, and I find myself shouting, "That's an absolute joke." I don't know if you ever respond like that. But in those moments, there appears to be a sense of injustice. And we long for a judge who will see through lies and deceit and make things right. And ultimately, this longing for justice, it leads us to God, because he is the just ruler and judge of the universe. And this reality is at the very heart of Psalm number 9. And I believe verses 7 and 8 are the key verses. The Lord reigns forever. He has established his throne for judgment. He will judge the world in righteousness. He will govern the peoples with justice. And in many ways, every human judge is a reflection of God. And our longing for fairness and justice is an echo of our deep longing for God. And that's why I believe Psalm number 9 speaks so powerfully to your hearts today. God brings himself glory by ruling and judging the world with justice. And so holding that big idea of God on the throne, ruling and judging the world with justice, let's come to Psalm number 9. And as we seek to unpack that this morning, I want to divide this psalm into two parts. Firstly, we'll think about David's praise in verses 1 to 12, and then we'll think of David's prayer in verses 13 to 20. So firstly then, let's think about David's praise, verses 1 to 12. And it's worth noting that this is the first direct psalm of praise in the book of Psalms. We've got the number 9, and this is the first direct psalm of praise. And David begins by praising God himself, but by the time we get to verse 11, he commands all of us to join in praise of God. This first psalm of praise lifts God's name high because he is a wise, fair, and a just judge. When we see God's glory as the judge of the entire world, our hearts should sing to him. David sets the tone for this song in the opening two verses. He says, "I will praise you, O Lord, with all my heart. I will tell you of all your wonders. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High." Can you capture this in your mind this morning? David is full of praise, and his whole being is involved in praising God. His praise of God was completely sincere. He was not just saying this because he was supposed to say it, but here was a man who really means what he says, and he thanks the Lord with all of his heart. his heart's overflowing with praise. And surely this brings a great challenge to every child of God today. Let me ask you, Christian, as you've come into this meeting house today, do you have a heart of praise? When was the last time when you thanked the Lord with your whole heart? As followers of the Lord Jesus, we have known God's grace and forgiveness in our lives. And yet all too often it seems as though many of God's people forget to praise God for all that he has done for them. And part of praise is our emotional response from our hearts. Praise is the joyful, the happy gladness of exulting in God himself. And in many ways, David can't contain his feelings, but he breaks out in song of joy to God Most High. But all of this that's going on in Psalm number 9, it drives us to ask fundamental questions. Why does God ask us to praise him? Why is Psalm number 9 a psalm of praise? Why is the collection of psalms full of praise? Or what kind of God needs his people to praise him? Well, let me make it absolutely clear. Almighty God has no needs. And even if God did have needs, puny people like me and you, we could never fill those needs. So why does God command us to praise him? Well, is it not true that we praise the things that bring us joy? We see a newborn baby and we look at those tiny fingers and toes and we're amazed how perfectly formed they are and we're filled with praise. We travel to the seaside and we hear the roar of the waves crashing onto the beach and it fills us with immense joy. Our favorite football team wins an important match, but oh, it was the second goal that was so amazing, and it's all we can talk about because it brought us so much joy. But hold on a minute, because God himself is the most beautiful, most exciting, most captivating person in the universe. And yet it appears that some Christians have lost the joy and wonder of being a child of the living God. When we truly see him as we ought, then our hearts will surely leap to praise him. And so the command to praise God is a command for us, for those who know and love Jesus as their Savior, a command for us to open our eyes to see God for who he is. And when we do that, we will naturally respond with joy and pleasure as we admire him. Surely the truth is the only reason someone would not praise God is because they are blind to who he is. And that big picture of the Psalms is the fact that they are constantly lifting our eyes to see God for who he is, filling out our picture of him, exalting another aspect of his character, displaying another of his mighty works. And oh, men and women, I say to you today, when we see him, when we grasp who our God really is, then it's so thrilling and glorious, and we will naturally want to praise him. Shouldn't be a case of someone driving you to praise God, but naturally welling up within your heart, you should be praising God for all he means to you. The bottom line is our joy in God is incomplete until we can express it in praise. And we see this clearly in the opening verses of Psalm 9. David declares that he will tell of God's wonders. And in doing so, he is glad and he rejoices in praise. So to come back to the question, why does God ask us to praise him? But I believe God lifts up his glory before us and commands us to praise him because it's the kindest thing God could do for us to demand that we make much of him. Sometimes we make much of so many other things in life. We make much of ourselves or others. And yet we ought to be lifting God high. We need to make so much more of him. And if you're truly saved, then God compels you to lift your eyes. Lift them afresh this morning and see the most beautiful and exciting being in the universe. He compels you and I to be glad, happy, and joyful by admiring the greatness of his glory. Well, let me ask you, Christian, is that really how your heart is responding to God? Are you really praising him from the depths of your heart? And is your praise of God, is that truly impacting others? You see, this praise, it's infectious. This joyfulness, it's infectious. And as you share that, it will have an impact on others. That's why I say to you today, let's make much of our God. Let's be excited about who he is and all that he has done. But maybe this morning you would want to come back to me and say, but Brian, hold on a minute. Hold on a minute. You know all that I've been through. You know that all that I am going through. And, well, I just feel it's almost impossible for me to praise God at the moment. And the truth is, life isn't always easy. And the truth is, the Christian isn't guaranteed an easy life. But we are guaranteed God's presence and peace. If you miss Thursday night, you miss a great night here in Trinity. My best friend, Adrian Adger, was here, and he shared with us afresh all that God has been doing in his life. And if you were here and you were listening, you will have heard, yes, he has that awful disease of cancer in his life, incurable, inoperable. But oh, surely if you were here, you left on Thursday night not feeling downcast, not feeling, well, it looks like things are over for Adrian because he's full of the joy of the Lord. That hasn't left him. That has captured his heart and his life. And equally, whatever curveball has been thrown at you, may you be able to rest completely with that confidence that God is with you, that whatever reason that may have come to your door, and I don't know why it has come to your door or why at this stage of life's journey you're facing what you're facing, but whatever it is that you and I have to face, our God is unchanging. And it's on him that we can trust. It's on him that we can depend. And so therefore, we should not stop praising our God. But let's dig a bit deeper into this psalm and let's think about the content of David's praise. In verses 3 and 4, David praises God for delivering him personally. He said, "My enemies turn back. They stumble and perish before you. For you have upheld my right and my cause. You have sat on your throne judging righteously." That personal deliverance then moves to a corporate deliverance. And in verses 5 and 6, David rehearses God's deliverance in rescuing his people. "You have rebuked the nations and destroyed the wicked. You have blotted out their name forever and ever. Endless ruin has overtaken the enemy. You have uprooted their cities. Even the memory of them has perished." And as I read those words, as I was sitting in the study, preparing and resting my way through Psalm 9, I kind of thought, well, it's hard to imagine an identical situation that we might face like that. We are not kings or queens. We have not personally been charged with defending our land from foreign enemies. Even though we might have real enemies, in some areas of our lives, of employment, we would not want God to destroy them by blotting out their names. Indeed, when we read the New Testament, we are instructed to pray for our enemies. However, there's one area in which we can echo David's words wholeheartedly, and that is in Jesus' victory over Satan. Satan is our great spiritual enemy, and he is a ruthless enemy. But here's the greatest encouragement for us all. Praise God, Jesus has defeated him. Yes, Satan is still active, but he's a defeated foe, and we can praise God for that. Tell me, as you sit in this meeting house today, is your life still being controlled by Satan? If you're not yet a Christian, then it's my duty today to warn you of the awful danger that you're still in. And God's word reminds us today that if you die without repenting of your sin, die without accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, then you will spend all eternity in that awful and terrible place called hell. Satan is a defeated foe, and I urge you to flee from his grip and instead know the freedom of living for the Lord Jesus Christ. And here's the wonderful thing this morning. If you know that you're without Jesus, if you've come into this meeting house today without that joy, without that freedom, the marvelous thing is that right now, right in this place, right as you sit in your pew this morning, that right now you can pass from death unto life. Today you can truly know the forgiveness of sin. Yes, David prays God for his personal deliverance and for a corporate deliverance of his people. And then we come to the working out of justice and the right judgment on earth. And at last we come to verses 7 and 8, those what I believe are the key verses of this psalm. The Lord reigns. He has established his throne for judgment. He will judge the world in righteousness. He will govern the peoples with justice. And in many ways, David held the role of chief executive officer and judge in Israel. And therefore, he was responsible for seeing that justice was done in civil matters. And in the light of his important role, it was appropriate that David should praise God for having established a divine throne for judgment and for ruling justly. I believe every Christian should be concerned about justice. There's something wrong when people break the law of the land, are found guilty, and then receive lenient punishment. And that cannot be right, and innocent people are denied true justice. In Micah chapter 6 and verse 8 we read, "What does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy, to walk humbly with your God." That's a powerful verse of Scripture, and I'm impressed with each of those requirements. But particularly the first one, which requires us to act justly and be concerned with justice elsewhere. And so if you know and love Jesus today as your Savior, then you should be concerned with justice for other people. Sometimes as Christians, we can be selfish in that we want justice only for ourselves or for the things that matter to us. However, these key verses in Psalm 9 highlight the fact that God will judge the whole world in righteousness, and he will govern the people of the world with justice. The content of David's praise is awesome, but he's still not finished, because in verses 9 to 12, we learn that David praises God for being a refuge for the oppressed in times of trouble. Listen carefully as I read verses 9 and 10. The Lord is a refuge for the oppressed, a stronghold in time of trouble. Those who know your name will trust in you, for you, Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. David, the one who was writing these words, he had known much trouble. And throughout the years, he had been forced to hide from King Saul. But time and time again, he proved his God to be a wonderful refuge. And he alludes to that in Psalm 11, 16, 18, 40, and 46. God is a refuge from the wicked. And perhaps today there's a Christian brother or sister who needs to be reminded of that. Maybe you've been going through a real battle in your Christian life. And the truth is you've come through those doors today unknown to anyone else, you're discouraged. You're downhearted. And if that's the case, then God would draw near to you. And God would say to you today, my child, take refuge in me. There have been many times and in various situations that I've read Psalm 46 to people connected to this congregation. In the verse 1 of that beautiful psalm, we read these tremendous words. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in times of trouble. Let me ask you this morning, as you sit here in the presence of other people and in the presence of God, let me ask you, are you in some sort of trouble this morning? Maybe you're saying, yes, Brian, I am. Maybe no one else knows that. Maybe you haven't shared that with anyone else. Maybe you find yourself in some sort of trouble. Well, here's Almighty God, and he's promising to be your refuge and your strength. And he's promising to be an ever-present help. Do those words not encourage you today? An ever-present help. In Psalm 9 and verse 10, David boldly declared, you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. And the writer of Hebrews in chapter 13 and verse 5 put it like this, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And here's the thrilling thing this morning. Christian, the Lord has never forsaken you or abandoned you, but rather he's right at your elbow. And he will never leave you because he is the ultimate refuge for us to run to. Whatever that trouble is you find yourself in this morning, whatever dark experience that you're maybe going through, whatever crushing experience that you've brought with you to this meeting house today, run to the refuge. Find that God is there for you. Find that he is no different than he was before. Lean upon him and learn of him. In verse 11, David again exhorts us to praise God. And it's striking how the psalmist combines singing with preaching. It's worth remembering that the great periods of church history have always been marked by both. James Montgomery Boyce, in his commentary, makes this helpful comment. At the time of the Protestant Reformation, Martin Luther's hymns were on the lips of the German people as much as his words were in their hearts. At the time of the Wesleyan Revival in Great Britain, the recovery of the gospel was accompanied by an equally stirring recovery of gospel singing as the hymns of John and Charles Wesley, Augustus Toplady, William Cowper, John Newton, and others show. The singing and God's word goes hand in hand. So we've been thinking about David's praise, but secondly, and much more briefly, let me highlight David's prayer. The second part of Psalm 9, verses 13 to 20, is a prayer for future deliverance. And this section begins And it ends, it's like two bookends, it ends with prayer. And there are two petitions. Verse 13, David makes a prayer for mercy. He says, O Lord, see how my enemies persecute me. Have mercy and lift me up from the gates of death. Have mercy. That was David's foundational position. And it showed that David never approached God on the basis of any supposed goodness in himself or any achievement for which he believed he should be rewarded. But rather, as he approached God, he did so as a sinner, needing and seeking God's mercy. And that surely is how we should approach our same God. Having laid that foundation in seeking mercy, David then petitions God to make himself known in the world by bringing justice in the course of everyday life. Listen again to verses 15 and 16. The nations have fallen into the pit they have dug. Their feet are caught in the net they have hidden. The Lord is known by his justice. The wicked are ensnared by the work of their hands. God's providence is his rule in the ordinary events of life. God does not save his judgment to pour it all out at the end of life. Instead, God weaves his justice into the fabric of everyday life. God is not mocked. Sin carries its own punishment. Is it not true that violent men tend to die by violence? The greedy suffer discontent that comes from their own greed. Gossips tear down their own character as they spread stories, then others think less of them. And then as David concludes his prayer and concludes this psalm, he prays to God in verses 17 to 20 to put man in his place. The first question in the Westminster Shorter Catechism asks, what is the chief end of man? And I'm sure many of you, if not all of you, will know the answer. Man's chief end is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. And these are not two separate things. To glorify God is to enjoy him. And enjoyment of God always results in the praise of his people. And so I say to you today, we never come closer to our true and ultimate destiny as redeemed people than when we praise God, just as David has done so beautifully in this psalm. And so as we leave this meeting house today, as we leave to live out this week, whatever might lie before us all, let us do so with that praise upon our hearts and indeed upon our lips. May it be so for the glory of God. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this lovely psalm, a psalm of praise and prayer. And Lord, we thank you that the truth is that sometimes we can be more apt to be driven to bring our list of requirements to you. And so we pray that you would forgive us of that, if that's been evident in our lives. And we pray that as a people of God, that we would learn more and more to praise you for who you are. Forgive us, O God, when our eyes are often upon ourselves and upon our own little needs. And help us to lift our eyes away from self and to lift them to you. To bask in your greatness, to bask in how wonderful and how marvelous you are. We pray that our love for you would indeed be deepened. Lord, we would pray today for any who are still without you, that even as we have reflected on something of your greatness, that Lord, that they would capture that and that they would want to know that greatness in their own lives, that they would want to know forgiveness of sin and what it means to walk daily with the living God. And so we pray that your Spirit then would speak on to those who are still without you. And yes, Lord, in this week ahead, may you fill our hearts and our lips with the praise of our great and glorious God. May it be so, for his name's sake alone. Amen. As we conclude today, we want to sing that great hymn, Praise to the Lord the Almighty, the King of Creation. Let's stand together as we worship our God. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all now and then forevermore. Amen.